Do it.
Yep.
Do it to it.
Do it.
Do it.
Five. Five.
Do it.
Five. Wait, let me make sure everything's going. Everything's
what
up.
Does she want?
Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno, cero.
For a long time, open source software and licensing and the implications of using open source software was still quite ambiguous, since none of the entities that produced open source enforced any of the licenses. People are realizing that just because software is free or open doesn't mean that it's free or open of actual licensing terms.
That was Dahlia Saper of the Saper Law Firm, who's lately been examining the legal implications of open source software in mixed license environments. Dahlia will be talking about this and other topics at the 2009 Flourish Conference taking place April 3rd and 4th at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Now in its third year, Flourish brings together open source enthusiasts from Chicagoland, the Midwest, and around the world to discuss the technical and philosophical aspects of open source. Flourish not only features engaging talks and discussions, but workshops on key open source technologies such as Drupal. For more information, go to flourishconf.com or follow FlourishConf on Twitter. You can also find our page on Facebook by searching Flourish Conference. We hope to see you there, April 3rd and 4th at UIC Student Center East, 750 South Halsted Street, Chicago. Flourish. In code, collaboration.
Give me a T!
T!
L!
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 T!
T!
S!
S!
What's that spell?
It's a little thing talk show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are licking bad. But the join link, go direct to dlmgs.org. And I see challenges at linuxthings.net. Bound tech show. Wow. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Another exciting episode of the Linux Link Tech Show.
Wait, wait, wait. Don't we have like three or four more introductions that we need to play?
No, we do need what? To make mention, though, of CosFest 2009 in Calgary. CosFest conference will be held Friday, April 17th and Saturday, April 18th at the Coast Plaza Hotel in Calgary. You can it's put on by, members of the Calgary Lug, and you can find them at www.cosfest.ca. That's CosFest.ca.
Oh, I thought you were saying CosFest, like COSFest.
No, cost.
Fest. I figured it was a Microsoft app.
Yeah, no, it's COS. Calgary Open Source. I don't know what it means. I'm not even going to attempt
to Microsoft Fest.
Yeah, no, CosFest 2009.
CosFest.
Calgary Open Source Systems Festival. That's what it is.
There you go.
It helps if I read the email fully.
I could, you know, speaking of reading, I could probably read the freaking IRC if I put my damn glasses on, too.
Getting old.
Yep. You're right behind me, buddy. You just had a birthday, too.
I know.
Happy birthday there, Dan.
Also, this week, we have a mediocre guest of limited proportions. No, we have an awesome guest, Neil Wallace, also known as Rowing Golfer. Been a great friend of the Tech Show. Neil Wallace was the person who got us the signed copies of Scott Sigler's Contagious to give away on the show way back in December. I think they arrived. No, January, actually.
We've been a little slow there.
We finally got the competition all finished. We have winners were picked last night at the last minute. My wife picked them by running the script I created. And these are the winners for the question contest. There were six books. Five of them were signed. One was a donation from... one was a donation. Oh, wait, I have... I have the...
try right
here. One was a donation from... I didn't put his name on here. Damn it. Oh, no, wait, maybe it's in here. One was another donation. Anyway, we thank him for that. So the five winners of the autograph book were Bert, Jonas, Chess Griffin, Mike Hill, Tim Sheridan, and Randy Noseworthy.
What? Chess Griffin?
Yeah.
Six.
It sounds like it, didn't it? When it came up, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. But he was actually asked to join the team after he had submitted for the contest.
Yes.
So
also,
I decided to leave him in.
Just explain how you did a weighted thing where if people answered more questions correctly, you got a higher chance of winning, right?
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter because he just picked who he wanted anyway.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody who submitted, as it was stated in the rules, everybody who submitted answers received one entry into the contest. For each right answer, you received another entry, and that's how it was weighted. So.
And for those of you who send in money, you receive the winning entries.
If you send a check along with your entry made out
that's
to me and
entry.
Not the Tech Show, you got yourself an entry. And the more money, the higher up the list you got.
Yes, sirree.
I did not accept the pictures. I told Randy Noseworthy he would have to actually submit the questions. I didn't want any more pictures of him in his truck driving around naked. But anyway, those are the winners. For the people who won before when we gave them away live on the show, I will be sending those out starting this week, hopefully, and we'll get those out to you as soon as my budget permits me. Unfortunately, one of these winners is overseas, so that's gonna be airmail for me. But that's fine. That's fine.
Airmail. What's that? When you throw it up in the air, if it gets there, great. If not, you know.
I do want to say one more time, thank you again, Neil. It was really great. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Yeah.
Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, well, I think it was worthwhile. It achieved the goal. It got Sigler on your show and got him into the New York Times bestseller list, which was the goal. So, great.
We know for sure that that's how he got on the New York Times bestseller list because he was on our show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think he got to number 27, and the top 30 is what enables him to use it as a reference in future. So, yeah. Stuff.
See, so the rest of the world, if you're listening out there, this is how you become famous. You simply become a guest on the Linux Link Tech Show, and it just works itself out. I mean, look at how famous Richard Stallman is. He was a guest on the show twice.
Before
right?
he was on this show, nobody knew who this guy
was.
He was
nothing. He was nothing, yeah. Now, he's, all over the place famous.
I still think that's the highlight. That's my favorite Tilts moment. I mean, I got the back catalogue off you guys, and the argument between Link and all of us is just historical. It's fantastic. partly why I went to Scale, having heard you advertise it on the show, was to try and resolve those issues in my head. You know, the argument between Link and RMS, the two sides of that, you know, how do developers get paid story, I still can't fathom it out. And there were...
Well, because in his world they don't, you know?
That's well, absolutely. If he can buy his sandals, and he's a happy man, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
We also got Gorkon on with us. Gorkon, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Joel of the famous, the infamous, I should say, homeless representative for the Linux Link Tech Show.
Is Dave Yates still on?
Yes.
And Dave Yates posts Root Canal.
Ooh.
Post Dr. Manhattan Canal.
Earlier. He was in the IRC earlier saying he was spaced out on Valium, wasn't he?
What's that?
Still chilling, Dave.
That'd be Emerald, right? That'd be Valium and Lortab.
Ooh. Do you have to work tomorrow, sir?
I do have to work tomorrow.
No. Enough out of you. Let's get back to Neil, because he's the guest, not you. Neil, we wanted to bring you on the show today, not to to thank you for the wonderful things you've done for us in the past, but so we can exploit you some more, because you're doing some really interesting stuff with your Open Molar project, and you had visited Scale or attended Scale and got involved in some of the stuff there, and I want to get that all out of you as we progress. But what I'm really interested right now, before we get into all your projects, is you sir are a dentist, and what are you doing in the FOSS community?
I'm here really because of Chess Griffin. I got involved. You know, I started listening to his podcast. I've always been interested in computers. Listened to Linux Reality, loaded up a copy of the PCT Linux OS, and moved on to Ubuntu, and I just can't believe how good it is. I made what I call a religious decision to move away from Microsoft at that point, and I don't think the Linux desktop was ready. Even, you know, I'm a newcomer. You know, what, 2-3 years ago? I don't think it was ready then, but it definitely is now. And I just can't believe the fact that it's such hard work to try and get people to see that. I don't know whether I'm really involved in the FOSS community. I would maybe like to be, and I think that this project that I've started may get some momentum and may be of interest to some of the guys that, you know, like yourselves, who I've met, because the one thing that I think Linux is missing is the kind of commercial small business apps, and the commercial small business apps, even on the Windows side, from my knowledge of them, are all pretty ropey. And because they're all being written from scratch every single time, there's no kind of code base that people are able to just lever to get good quality apps. And I looked around the market for dental applications, and these are applications which sell for a considerable amount of money. You know, to set up we've got a 3-surgery practice. To set up a computer system in there in the UK starts at £12,000-£13,000. So what's that? About $16,000-$17,000. That's hardware and software included.
Okay.
That's the whole shebang. That's hardware and software.
Now, does that include the software for the dental software?
Well, I don't know about the legislation where you are, but in the UK there was a law passed that said that you cannot make it a condition of one that you supply the other. If you're a software vendor, you cannot have it as a condition that your hardware comes from you. However, these regulations have been flouted. The invoice that I received for my the package that I bought that I'm now ultimately dissatisfied with, that package was invoiced with zero hardware cost and 13,000 software cost, which is completely arse about tit with regards to the way we've been thinking of software, you know, as a service, where, you know, you pay for the hardware, you pay for the servicing, you pay for the support, but the actual software, the actual code is free and open. So in, at least in the UK, it's completely arse about tit. They're locked in the proprietary, and I went over to, when I went to scale, I really went to docs. I went to the Friday track, which was demonstrating open source healthcare solutions. And I was just interested to see if, to quote yourself, Dan, whether it was still a mess. And I'm afraid it certainly is. It certainly is. I met like-minded individuals over there who had exactly the same experience as me, who have companies who will only support one screen resolution, one type of printer. And if you say, I'm not happy with that printer, they say, well, F you. You know, you really do get tied into a monopolized proprietary situation, and your business depends on it. And I've been with this particular company for 12, 13 years, and you become so reliant on them. Your business actually is dependent on the quality of their software. And if they begin to drop the ball, my customer service to my patients went through the drain. If there are cock-ups with invoicing, recalls, the documentation, it has an impact on customer care. And let's see if we can redress it. I'm not a programmer per se. I've dabbled in programming over the years, and I thought
you're a dentist, right?
I'm a dentist, absolutely. I'm a dentist with an interest in computing, but I've always dabbled in. I've always wanted to code. I've written some. I wrote some rowing software that got used around the world for timing head races and stuff on Dan's favorite .NET platform about 5 or 6 years ago.
But you know what, Neil? I want to interrupt you for a second because you made two comments which I don't agree with. And the first one was, you say, one, I don't know if I'm really contributing to the FOSS community, and you know, then you turn around and say you're not a programmer. But you know, I would contest both of those because number one, I see you on IRC a lot. I see you helping people out. I know about this project that you're working on. I know that your work. I've seen your work in Python, and you have a history of writing applications. So I would contest both of those statements because I do think that not only are you a valuable member of the FOSS community, you're a productive and growing valuable member of the FOSS community, and you are also, at the very least, ongoing practicing programmer, because you have developed software, you have put it out there, and you know you're in the process of you're taking on a small task for what you're doing here, and so I contest you on both of those statements. You can apologize like Dave Yates, but I will still disagree with you.
Well, I'm honored beyond belief to be invited on, and I couldn't refuse. But thank you very much, Dan, for kind words. I don't say it's whether I'm a member. I think I was speculating whether I was actually a member of the FOSS community, because in some ways I have a lot in common with you know, you guys and the guys at Scale, but in other ways I'm you know, in awe of the, you know, abilities that you guys have and just take for granted. Computers are so organic now, they're so difficult that, you know, I maybe understand, you know, 1/3 of 1% of one little aspect that enables me to get something done, but, you know, the stuff that I see going on networking-wise is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And that's why the application that I am that I envisage for my practice will be multifactorial. I want people to be able to, I want my patients to be able to just go online and book their own appointments and settle their invoicing and do all this kind of thing. And you know, that technology is there, but it's not yet available in the UK from any commercial supplier, as far as I'm aware. And if any of the commercial suppliers were going to do that, they would charge an arm and a leg for that facility and then probably not support it and not maintain it. And within 2 or 3 years, it would be useless and broken and full of security holes. So I'm delighted to get this project started, but I just don't know where the hell I'm going to go with it. I posted a link earlier on the IRC. I don't have it with me now. I've actually put a tarball of the code out and a working... there's a working dental database on there. If anyone wants to have a look at the code, see what I'm up to, get back in touch with me. I think we are going... There's probably going to be some... there's going to be some money available for this project to get the sort of skill sets involved. Whether it's going to involve, you know, guys from across the pond or guys in the UK, I have no idea, but there's a definite need for this. This is a rich market. I'm one of the reasons I've been so hesitant is I'm a bit concerned about my... I'm not going to use the word intellectual property because that's a dirty phrase, but I'm a bit concerned about... I don't want somebody to take what I've done and, you know, you wrap it up again into a proprietary model and trap people with that. I don't want my code to be used to trap other people into the similar cycle that I got trapped in.
Just that's what the GPL is for, though, buddy. You know, you just release your code to GPL, and then they can't do that.
Well, I have. That's exactly what I've done. For me to do this project, what I first had to do, I had to reverse engineer the database that I had bought, which having used the system for 12 years and got you know and thought about the methodology of it, that was reasonably straightforward. You know, there was a lot of, although it's a MySQL database, it's got very poor security. I was able to see all the variables, of course, and make tests and just see exactly how the thing's working. So I managed to work out what the programmer was trying to achieve, and I've made my software run completely concurrently with that. So at the moment, at the practice, we've got one. It's a Windows 2003 server, which is what MySQL is being served from, and I can connect to it with either my program on Windows or my program on Linux, and we can use the commercial application, despite the fact that I told them 8 weeks ago to jump in a lake, and we are currently taking them to court over it. But the timescale I have, this coming Thursday, week tomorrow, my support contract with them will absolutely end, and I've been seeing nice little Easter egg messages flicking up saying, if you don't pay by the 26th of March, this is no longer going to work. So, you know, I'm a man with a problem, but I'm a man with a hopefully a solution as well.
Now, let me clarify something or question.
Okay.
You said it is a MySQL database, right? It's not MSQL,
correct.
Right? It's MySQL, so that they're using. And their software. You have your software now essentially does almost the same thing that their software does, or I mean, can you where you're at now? Could you switch to yours and use yours exclusively?
There are some things that mine does better. There are some things that mine doesn't yet do, but it does. It's probably got 70-80% of the functionality. I'm really learning all these tools. I've had to learn Python. This is the first application I've written using the PyQt 4. First time I've ever used MySQL. And as I'm learning these tools, and the only networking I've ever done is set up a Mythbox at home, which was invaluable and gave me the confidence to think that I'd be able to manage this system. But you know, as I'm learning those tools, I'm getting faster and faster at implementing the new features that myself and my staff are asking for. And the beauty is, whenever we daily discuss it, that we've got a team of about 13 at the practice. And we all come together and say, right, what do we need to do with this? And, you know, and I get negative feedback as well. You know, the way you've implemented that isn't right. And it's a very embryonic way. It's a very nice, natural way of creating the software. And it's made me wonder how projects like this do get off the ground in a more conventional setting. You know, if I was to go to Link and say, Link, you know, you know, 100 times the programmer I am, how can I give you my knowledge of how I want this to operate so that you can write the code that I want? That communication between consumer and programmer is a real barrier, I think. And, you know, as I say, every feature I add to the software gets looked at by 4 dentists and 10 dental nurses on a daily basis. And I would imagine most developers would find that quite a useful bit of feedback.
Now, you spoke about that divide there between the developer and
the
consumer.
Yeah, they just sent me hate mail.
that divide between the developer and the consumer. Now, you're bewildered by that experience right there. I mean, do you feel like that is one of the divides between you and the current supplier of your software?
Absolutely. I've never had a conversation with the programmer. Never had it. And that was one. Some of the guys that I met at Scale said, "You're a dentist who codes. Why did they not? You know, why did they not try and leverage some of your skills to improve?" And it's a good question. It's very hard to make it known that it's very hard to make it known to your IT supplier that you have an interest as a hobby. As a hobbyist, you have an interest in what they're doing without coming over as arrogant and without coming over, you know, famously, the guy called me on the phone. He said, "You're just an arrogant fucking son of a bitch. I don't tell you how to do your job. You shouldn't tell me how to do my job." And I said, "Right, fair enough." And I hung up and I rang the lawyer and I said, "We've got to break this connection with these guys." Because this company have my business sitting on their computers, whoever, you know, it frightens the living bejesus out of me, the amount of control they have over me and the amount of power that they have. So the day that I just, you know, just firewalled the router and said, "You're not coming into this network again," it was like an albatross removed from around my neck. And for all the fear I have about this project working, it's been a very liberating process as well.
So
you can tell I'm quite passionate and adrenaline fired about it still, you know.
So they actually had up until you firewall them off, they had access to your system, carte blanche.
Yep. If you saw this stuff, you'd be appalled. It's just really, really badly. It's just an appalling bit of software. It's the worst software I've ever used in my life. It was a DOS program that was leading the market by a country mile back in the 90s. Absolutely, but a lot of that old DOS code is still embedded in this, you know, in the system, and a lot of the GUIs don't react well to, you know, the scroll bars don't work, you know, and you mouse over something, there's no response. If you, it's slow to update. It uses the database. There's a lot of stuff which I feel should be in the application space, which is in the database space, and I think they've made some design problems. They decided they were going to make it all point and click, whereas it's been a complete keyboard. Anyway, it stinks, but I shouldn't really talk too much about that because that is an ongoing legal minefield. It looks like there may well be a class action amongst myself and a number of my colleagues against this company because they've just failed us. They failed us badly.
So the company has not been forthcoming with, your needs and assisting you. You've been with them for 12 years. That's a long time. I don't know if you could speak to this, but what has their impression been of what you're doing? Or are they not aware of it?
They are not aware of it.
All right. As far
as I'm aware, this is one of the reasons why, until we manage to settle our claim against them, I'm a little bit wary to.
But Fair enough, you don't have to say anymore.
Indeed. But I did want to go to. I did approach them and said, "Listen, I would like to help you not iron out some of these bugs and make it much more usable." And they said, "Well, you know, what sort of things can you offer us?" And I felt I was in a bit of a position because I couldn't even say to them, if I admitted to them that I'd had a look, you know, deep into the sort of layout of the MySQL database, I was probably in breach of the license that they had given me. So for me to offer to help them, I had to kind of show my cards. And as soon as you've said to somebody, I instead of using the application that you've provided for me to deal with the database, I've gone directly into the database, you've then, I felt I had rendered myself open to the charge that any problems I'm having with the system were of my own making. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question here, and this probably shouldn't interfere, you know, moving away from this company specifically and talking about you and the software. Where is the line drawn with regards to this software package? I mean, when your license is up,
yeah,
is there a separation between the application and the data, or is it all bundled together and once the license is gone, so is your data, or can you get the data out of the system?
Well, I have got my full database is running at home here. I've got it running on my MythBox. The MySQL, the backup system is just, you know, using the standard MySQL dump every evening, so I can take that file, load it in, you know, and load it onto my home box, and so I'm not at all concerned about loss of data. I am more relaxed now about you know, my ongoing backup than I have ever been, because I mean I've always felt that you the only way to test a back the only way to test a backup is to do a full reinstall of it. You know, you can have a look at the data on disks, etc., etc. You will never know whether you've done it correctly. I don't know. I'm speaking to guys in the business. I don't think you can be 100% sure that your backup's working unless you actually restore from it. And I am now, of course, you know, because of this development process, I'm doing that almost nightly just to make sure that the two systems are compatible. So I'm totally relaxed about that, but what happens on the 26th of March, I just don't know. There's no documentation, and seeing as I haven't had any, we've had no communication with this company for 2 months now, since it went into the hands of the lawyers, I've got no idea. I would assume that on the 26th of March, they'll say, we haven't had a check from you. If we've not got one within a week, the system's not going to run. But without sounding arrogant, the way that they've coded their application, it has nothing to do with the running of the server. And even if it does, I've got it running on another server at home. I'll just take a Linux box in and we're done.
But Mike, I'm wondering is if we take you and your skills out of the picture here, what does everybody? I mean, what's the other dentist shop down the road that's running this have? I mean, would they be able to get their data out of this system, or are they essentially locked in now?
They are screwed. They are screwed big time. I spoke to a colleague who lives and works about 20 miles away from me, and they've been having horrendous problems. They have had a printer which they have not had been able to use it since October, and every time they ring up the company, the support line every day, saying we can't do this, we can't do that. We're having to reboot the server twice a day. They're in one hell of a mess. They're totally in the hands of the support team of this other company, and the company is based down in London, which is a good, you know, it's a 12-hour drive from here. Their situation became so dramatic that the company, and I only have this on anecdotal evidence, I don't know whether there's any truth in it, the company sent one of their head engineers up, and the engineer got halfway up and was found by the police at the side of the road. He just had a mental breakdown in his car. So,
what did you do to him?
Good question. This is a company that's going to the wall. I also have another colleague who refused to take this upgrade to the new system. I haven't really elaborated on that, but we've had a system with them for 12 years, and they changed they said, everyone's got to move to this iconic system, this is the new way, we're not going to be able to support the old one, you must all do it. And most of us said, well, okay, we've not really got much choice, we're going to do it. But a colleague of mine said, no, stuff them, I'm going to persist with the old system, and you're going to support it. And they said, well, we can't. And they said, well, he said, well, you're duty bound to. And they said, well, no, we're not. We're going to give you our 3 months notice. And he says, right, well, how, are you going to help me get my data out of the system? And they said, no. So, you know, he is in a very interesting position. And I think if he's got the balls to tackle them, they're going to have to give him the new software free of charge. I don't see any way around that. I don't see how they could, you know, the dental world is quite a small world, and for this company to do that to a customer, I think would be a very bad PR stint.
Now see,
what's
Neil,
I think Pat made a comment. He went to he asked his practitioner about it over in the States, and he said they were having similar problems, having to reboot servers, etc., etc.
The last time I was there, he was telling me that he upgraded to a new system that roughly cost him $50,000, the whole system. It was a patient tracking system where they pull up the patient file, and then you would see, you know, the history of the patient. They would do X-rays, and then they'd be able to link them to the database for the patient records. And he was telling me that, like, he would have the system running. He would leave it on, the server running on overnight, you know, like he was instructed to by the guy who installed it, you know, the consultant that installed it for him. And the server would be unusable, and he would have to do a full, you know, cold restart to get it going.
Yeah. I mean, carry on, sorry.
They could be using the same system that you're using. Who knows?
Well, they almost certainly aren't, but it sounds like they're very similar problems. The last thing that we were told when we had our training day on this, the last thing we said was, oh, and by the way, never, ever, 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 ever reboot your server. And I'm looking at him thinking, it's a fucking Windows box. You know, every second Tuesday of the month, the damn thing is nagging at you to switch it off. And indeed, when we finally did have to do that, I mean, I had to recable something, and it had to go off. It wouldn't reboot. The way they configured the BIOS with regards, you know, they'd put all the boot drives in at a later state, it just wouldn't reboot. I mean, it was no big deal. I mean, you just went into the BIOS and reset things and off it went. But, you know, for the average punter, that could have been a severe incident. If we are totally and utterly reliant on these systems now, having had them in for 12 years, you know, we've lost the skills to do things manually. We've lost the knowledge of how to keep paper records. We don't, if we've got a patient who's allergic to some of the materials or bandages or drugs or whatever that the potential of not being able to access the data we have on our database is phenomenally high. And as ever, you know, it's the same when you send your tax return to the accountant. The accountant fills it all out for you, but ultimately you're responsible for whatever he does. Well, it's the same here. We've passed as much responsibility over to our IT guys, but the buck lies with us. If that data gets lost or abused, by some, you know, punk little IT guy down in London who doesn't really care for the customers. I mean, they've shown not to do that. I would be responsible if one of my patients who's, for instance, got HIV positive, you know, that we store that information on the database, and that information is flying up and down on cassette tapes and all sorts. And if you go to your IT supplier and say, listen, can you just tell me what security policies you have in place here? You get grief. You get grief. It's a big mess, a big stinking mess. And scale.
But they told you it wouldn't be secure anymore.
That's right. They say, yeah, it's the kind of same old, yeah. No one's ever been hacked, so it's probably okay. Well, not the case. You know, real VNC running 24/7 on a Windows server is not my idea of. I mean, it was keeping me awake at night, frankly. There you go.
Now, you know, listening to what you're saying and. Not keeping up on medical technology too much, but I've listened, you know, I've been on the periphery of this and some of the stuff. I hear that constantly, again and again, that you have these these vendors with these disparate systems that don't communicate with one another, that are godly expensive and all wrapped up and proprietary. Your data is held hostage, and you have situations where, you know, you go to the hospital can't get your records unless your doctor is a part of the same software package, because if they're different, they won't communicate with one another. And it almost sounds like the vendors have you by the short curlies here, and they don't really care as long as they get that check, and there's nobody out there with, you know, a competing product or enough of a competing product to make an effect, yep, some kind of change.
I think where we have an advantage over you, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think where we have, where the time for me to do this is now, is that we do not yet, as far as I'm aware, have the same legislation that you have. There's some sort of database. You have to have some sort of form of standard or certification, etc. So you can have the. I'm not familiar, but the annoying thing is that the companies that are pushing for these standards, they're not really pushing for standards from a patient's or even a practitioner's point of view. You know, you know exactly what you would. You want to be able to access your records, even if you move to another town. You want your data, which is, you know, in the digital age, is freely copyable. You want that to be able to move with you seamlessly. The companies are definitely standing in the way of that happening. And there's no need for it. You know, there should be a standard file format where it can just move around. But the companies are all, instead of the companies coming together and agreeing a file format, they come together and try and get the other companies to, you know, to implement features they've already done, because there's no cost to that.
Neil, this is David. You mentioned something about, I get the impression you were talking about something like over here in America, there's something to protect that data. Is that not the case in Scotland? Or is this a file format thing that's completely different? I know we got Sarbanes-Oxley and some other legal stuff, but I don't know all the details.
It's a different issue. There was a buzz at Docs and at Scale about... you'll have to forgive my interest. My ignorance. There was a buzz about some sort of legislation that was going to be affecting this practice management records thing. I forget that. But it was. Say again.
HIPAA.
It's something along. It's that kind of acronym. Yeah.
Well, you know, but speaking of, I'm sorry, go ahead. You have more to say on this.
Well, I was just going to sum up the medical side of things is absolutely fascinating, and there are real forces of inertia there with regards to, as we're all heading into, you know, an older age and a polypharmacy situation with extremely expensive drugs, we should be levering our IT skills to try and formulate some sort of improved feedback system on these drugs, whether they're working, whether there are side effects in combinations. If your mother in her 80s is on 6 or 7 different doses of various medications, all named, all with different names all around the globe, she could be in a very small minority of people on that exact same medication, and the chances, you know, of her side effects ever being tallied up with someone else is solely dependent on the medical IT industry getting its finger out of its arse and trying to do something that's going to benefit society, because there are forces there. If you Dan, tomorrow came up with some sort of new pharmacology which was going to cure HIV, if it was going to eradicate HIV, you would find Pfizer would be straight down on you, because they were losing, you know, they're losing their $10,000 a year medications that people are going to be signed up for 30 years. There are real forces at play in the medical sphere that we could probably eradicate if we can get the statistical data that's only available through IT. I'm waffling. But just to finalize that, the opening keynote at the docs thing, he stood up and he said, yeah, within 10 years, it's highly likely that your medical record will include a full DNA or gene mapping. You know, so and if you start being able to map the genes against the drugs that you're taking, etc., we could quite easily find that, you know, it could quite quickly prove that 95% of the drugs in the world are completely ineffective, and you know, that will reduce healthcare, and in a sort of a global depression as we have, we need to try. You know, healthcare is the one thing which is just running on, you know, it's inflation year on year on year.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I'm wondering about right now, that there is such a, I mean, you have a lot of money and companies wrapped up and invested in healthcare and on the IT end of things. For you to come along and to write an application like you do, you have done, and you to implement that, to even begin to sell that, are there barriers in your way, like certifications that you must have from health organizations or some governing body before you or another practice or another dentist could use your application?
I think there must be. I think there really must be. I don't know for certain, but my defense to that is twofold. One is that I haven't changed it. You know, I have used the same back end structure as a long serving dental company that did have a good reputation until recently. So, you know, I can show that, you know, my policies are not vastly deviant. And the second thing is, I can say, well, if you're worried about it, there's the source code. That's the best bloody documentation in the world, and it is the answer to all of these things. And as soon as, you know, there will be people who come up to me and say, I don't think you should be doing this. You know, you're not. It brings all the barriers down. Say, well, it's open source. You know, if you don't believe I've got the skills, there's the source code. You pick it up, run with it, and do whatever you want. It's. You know, I think the open source element to this. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it as a proprietary app. I don't think a dentist could bring out a closed-up app and start selling it for money. Maybe, you know, that's how it used to be, isn't it? That's how all these apps started off.
But then, you know, go on. To the flip side to that, though, is if you aren't using a software solution, you would probably be using some pen and pencil, you know, ledger-type system, which would not be certified either.
Correct. I mean, you have a well-documented duty of care to your patients, but you know, the digital age where things are, you know, so freely copyable, almost, you know, behind your back without you noticing, someone can take the, you know, all your data away from you. It's a different set of problems, and I don't think the fact that I could do it by paper and have in the past, I think that's irrelevant now. But it's absolutely true.
Your project, it's called Open Molar.
Yeah, it's called Open Molar. There is an open source dental application in the States, which is quite a mature one, called Open Dental, which is of no use to me because. It would have been difficult for me to transfer my data over to it. You know, it would have been probably as much work to do that as it would be to write what I have done.
Not to mention the fact that even though it's supposedly open source, there's a lot of cost incurred with running that particular application.
Correct.
It's like $140 a month or something they want from you to let you run this application. Doesn't sound like a very great open source project to me.
The thing is, whenever we talk open source, we always end up talking money, don't we? It's $145 a month is a fantastic price. I don't snap the hand off for any commercial app like that. It was £3,000 a year for this crap that I've got, on top of, you know, whatever I paid. I think I added it up. I've paid about £60,000 over 13, 14 years. A lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
A lot of money. You know,
a lot of
what,
money,
what
there's
I hope
other
for...
applications that are worse.
Yeah, but you know what? It sort of smacks, though.
Yes. It's not
even though we always go back to money,
it
always sort of smacks to the fact that, you know, with open source software, you really shouldn't be charging money for the software.
Yep.
But maybe money for the support. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you see, I... This is the difficulty, isn't it? If I want to make some money out of this, I have to set up a business and I have to employ people and I have to, you know, I don't want to be answering the phone to you know, dental practices 24/7. So I, you know, it's a barrier. But if Dan decides that he's going to be the Ohio area dental software provider, hopefully there'll be something in what I've done which will, you know, kind of set him in the right track, and I have no problem with that. I don't know where this is going to end up, and I also know that, you know, the my skills are limited. I'm never going to be able to have the sort of, you know, the secure, robust, mature product that I need. And the other thing that scares me is, you may not be aware, but my wife is a dentist. We own a practice together. My sister is also a dentist in the practice. And at the moment, you know, once this software is up and running, they're totally reliant on me. And if I pop my clogs, I want someone to be able to continue the maintenance and running of this software. And the only way that can be the case is if I've managed to build a community around it. Heck, John O'Bacon.
But on the
flip side,
you got to communitize the community.
Yeah, but on the flip side, what's the alternative? You're stuck with a company that isn't going to provide you the level of service that you would. Would you want your wife and your sister to be running the alternative?
Yeah,
I mean, what's the lesser
not.
Of two evils?
Yeah.
Now, regarding Open Molar, you have taken your database, the data, you have structured your application around it to begin with. And, you know, I have to wonder a little bit there about the concerns that you have, because, you know, just the very fact of what you have done so far is extremely impressive. And I don't have a doubt in my mind that if you put your mind to it rather quickly, you could fill in the gaps of what types of issues that you are concerned with. Now, how soon do you foresee that you are going to take your application in a completely different direction than where it is now, and tailor it to what you want? And because one thing that's crossing my mind and saying, if this company would be complaining about anything, might be that you are taking their database schema.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Do you plan to, you know, alter their schema to your needs?
Well,
to create your own?
There are two advantages to try and keep the same. One is that the point I alluded to earlier is that, you know, should they see the light and should another company buy them out and start supporting that schema, we may well be able to get taken back into the fold. You know, as soon as I break away, having said that, that's a difficult question. I'm also concerned that, you know, when they see what I'm doing, they'll say, you've kept the database the same so that you can steal our customers. And, you know, I assure you, you know, that's not really what I'm interested in at all. I, as I say, I've got no interest whatsoever in supporting other dental practices because, you know, software support must be horrendously difficult. And demoralizing at times. No, I don't know. I've kept their schema for the time being. Already, I'm seeing things that I would have designed it differently, given the way that I'm, heading it. I think initially I'll just be adding additional tables and then renaming theirs and moving things across, and maybe I'll the concern I had is if they ever sue me in a court of law and say, oh, you've stole our property, our intellectual property, you're using, you know, there's only so many ways of saying select surnames from patients. You know, there's only so many ways of phrasing this SQL, and you and I, and everyone listening knows that, you know, if an SQL query is an SQL query. However, in a court of law, a judge is going to say that, you know, no, you've used exactly the same line of code that they have. You've stolen their code. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, you get a group full of programmers, and you tell them to code a for loop. You know, you get like 20 programmers. You're gonna see some of the same code. You know, even if they don't look at each other, what they're doing.
Well, especially in the tools that I've chosen as well. You know, in Python, you know, there is only one way of doing things. You know, that's the beauty of it. I have to say, you know, when I 6 years ago when I had a specific program that I wanted to write for, you know, rowing head race timing. I wasn't sure what tools to choose, and I went into the libraries and I looked around, and I asked friends who were programmers, what should I use? And, you know, one person said Java, another person said whatever, and in the end I just picked the VB.net stuff off the shelf and ran with it. And worst bloody decision I ever made in my life. You know, although ultimately that's what pushed me towards Linux, because the tools that I used to write that program, and I spent a lot of my free time writing that. They're now all defunct, and you know, the code is not really trans. You know, I can't move it on to the other. So the one thing I'm trying to say here is that I am absolutely delighted in the tools I've chosen for this. You know, Python and PyQt and even MySQL, which I didn't choose myself, they're just absolutely wonderful, beautifully documented programs. And writing this application, although it's more important to me than the, you know, I couldn't be happier than where I am with it. I'd be interested to see if you get a chance to install this OpenMolder on your things. I made a database, and it is actually there is about a tenth of my data in there. There's 1,000 active patients or so in it. I hashed all their names and made their notes. I just changed every single word into something out of the dictionary, because it'd be inexcusable of me to pass that information on. But I'd be interested to see what you think of it. Where are we going?
Now, is the code available for people to check out?
Yeah, it is. I shall stick a wee linky into the IRC. There's a tarball up on my Rowing Club website at the moment, and there's a README file in there that tells you how to dump the database into there. And if anyone feels like getting involved or just wants to hack a little bit of Python, it's quite a useful thing to do, I guess. Because, you know, although this is for a dental software, a lot of the billing and other applications that we do are, you know, probably trying to, you know, Timrit, for instance, with his company, he's quite interested in getting rid of their proprietary crap. So there's a link in there.
Can you describe what does OpenMolar do? I mean, what functionality does it have?
Well, presently you can, a client comes in, you take the address details, the telephone details, you know, all the normal contact information. You'll take a medical history off them. You will do a dental charting, so you'll chart specific information about their teeth. You will come up with a treatment plan for their. For services you're going to provide. You then have to try and get an invoice for that. It has to be able to communicate with the local hospitals if you're making any referrals. You have to be able to recall people at periodic intervals. And also, just organize your day-to-day diary. On top of that, I have a separate database provided by Dürr Dental, which is a radiographic site. All our x-rays in the practice have been digital for 18 months. That system, I'm going to link into it as well at some point. I quite like keeping the two things separately. You know, it's not all our eggs in one basket at the moment. But the two systems do talk to one another. You know, Pat was very helpful in when I was just learning all this in getting the two systems to talk to one another. We formulated the script between us over in the IRC, and in fact, it's bloody Pat's fault that you know he encouraged me to go for this. There we go.
Now,
I wish I had more time to help you, Neil. To be honest, it sounds like a real interesting project.
Yeah, I've enjoyed every minute of it. I'm not here to whinge about it. I would just say to anyone in the same, if you are sitting at work in front of a computer with a screen that is just annoying you because it doesn't behave in the way that you want to do, the tools that are out there now, they're mature tools that are easy to learn. Go ahead and do it. You know, if you've got an itch and you've got a deadline to meet, just go for it. I mean, my system has to be active, fully active, week Thursday, and it will be. There you go.
Am I correct in I recall you showing some pictures, some screenshots of this. Is there not like a graphical representation of a mouth in there with all the teeth? You could click on each individual tooth and manage that tooth.
Yeah, I've made about five or six little custom widgets. You know, we just inherit the sort of the base the base widget set from QT, and just you know they implement their own paint methods and their own mouse methods and etc. And you know, have their own variables etc. I've got an appointment overview widget, I've got an appointment book widget, I've got a dental chart, and I've now got a little dental data entry widget, which is what I'm working on currently for making for inputting the data. I think there's around about 20,000 lines of code at the moment.
Okay, Mr. Non-Programmer. Let me ask you a few more questions here. You have mentioned that your colleagues have given you feedback. What has been the overall impression from your colleagues of this application?
When I was at Scale, I actually showed it to his balls. I showed it to a Trolltech guy. He was blown away by it. They're all quite impressed with this, and yeah, my colleagues same as well. You know, they can instantly see that I'm addressing the things that have annoyed them for a decade. You know, we have a lot of Polish patients who've moved into our area from the EU, and one thing, you know, the SoundX facility in MySQL, you know, instead of saying where surname is Wallace, you say the surname sounds like Wallace, and you instantly get the Wells and the Willis and the Walsh, and that is really useful when you're on the end of a bad phone line, people breaking up on mobile phones, giving you this stuff, and you know, it just makes it more pleasant for the receptionist to be able to say, "Oh right, yes, I found you know," and if the previous supplier came to his all fanfare one day saying, "Oh, we've got a new feature for you. You can now search for a patient by date of birth." And they actually kind of paused for a round of applause when they said that. And I thought, you know, we asked you for that 12 years ago. Do you really want us to pat you on the back when you come up with it now? So little things like that, you know, that sound trivial can really change the daily experience of using a program like this. There you go.
It almost sounds like, you know, as I listen to you talking about this, and you know, you haven't, I think you've been a little underselling the application and how great this is. But on the flip side is, you talk about, you question your contribution to the FOSS community, but in essence, you have essentially replicated the goals of the FOSS community in your work environment by what you have done, and it's very impressive, and it should be applauded. I mean, you are actually living the FOSS ideals, and that is amazing, and seeing the fruits of your labor succeed.
Thank you.
And don't be so conceited, okay? What's your response is there?
Conceited.
Well, the thing is, I'm a user. I'm trying to say, you know, I have developed this little application for my own use. That doesn't make me a developer.
Didn't you just say you have 20,000 lines of code?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're a programmer that also uses your program.
That's right.
Yeah. But you see, the only people who have that attitude are people who are extremely good programmers. Ed from the PIT TV project said the same thing. You know, you've written an application, so you are a developer. I don't feel that way. I'm trying to get the thing out onto Launchpad, and I've got to learn Bazaar. I've got to learn how to, I need to get, this is going to make you all laugh. I need to get myself an SSL certificate so that I can, you know, push the files up to Launchpad using Bazaar. That is going to be, I'm going to have to sit down and read all the hell of a lot of documentation again.
We've all had to. I mean, there's nothing to laugh at.
And we all still have to, you know. There's stuff that happens like that every day. I have to learn something new, you know, all the time. I'm sure the rest of the guys do, too. And as far as being a programmer, whether or not you consider yourself a programmer, man, if you've written a shell script, as far as I'm concerned, you're a programmer, you know. I mean, that's all there is to it. Doesn't matter how big or how small, it's the fact that you've created something that not only, you know, in the FOSS ideal, it's the fact that you've created something that not only you can use, but maybe someone else can use, too. And, you know, that's all there is to it. And you're contributing a lot, actually, a lot more than most people do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You're damn right we will. I mean, see, it's got to be a little rough for you in some respects, because I'm listening to what you're saying, and as I hear you talking about it, I mean, you know, you've written this really great application, and it has fit your bill, fit your needs. You have addressed issues. You have listened to your customers, even though your customers are largely your colleagues that you work with in your own business. But I can also hear, like, it sounds like, I mean, you have friends in other practices that are going through this crap who could really benefit from your application, and it's almost like you have the opportunity here to, you know, really have this thing take off and take off, you know, extraordinarily well. But with that comes the responsibility of of course having to maintain it if you do.
Absolutely.
And that's tough, because yeah, you say you're not a programmer, but you are a programmer. But on the other side is you're a dentist, and I'm sure you're equally, if not more, passionate about, you know, your dental work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That career, and it's to juggle both of those is pretty difficult.
Yeah,
or can be a lot, very time consuming.
Yeah, but that's going to be a good thing, because that's going to ensure that your program, when you're done with it, is that much better. You know, it's going to have that attention to detail that only a dentist really could give it. So,
Programmers
don't really know the business. Real programmers. This is Gorkin, by the way. And that's the main problem, is the programmers sometimes can't see what's going to make a program easier to use, but the users can.
Well, I have some sympathy for the company that developed this awkward program, because I can see where they went wrong. They had a design team and they had a programmer, and the design team said, "Oh, let's make, you know, we've only got 32 teeth in the head. Let's have an icon for every single thing you can do to those teeth, and the user can just click on it and it'll be really beautiful." And the programmer said, yeah, okay, I think that can make sense of that. No one, at no time did anybody think, hang on, 32 times 50 is a hell of a lot of combinations to try and have unique icons all over the screen. And I suspect that they went six months down the line before they realized that everything that they'd just done, really, they should go straight back to the drawing board. And that must happen with a lot of projects. It's happened with a hell of a lot of projects. And it must be, they've got to put bread on the table as well. And, you know, they'd made promises to people that they were going to deliver this thing, and they did have to change platforms because of, you know, sort of printer support, modem support, all this kind of thing. We were on Windows 98 until last October, for God's sake. And I went to them and I said, listen, why don't we make a Linux solution? It seems to make a lot of sense. And they said, oh, we're not interested. So.
Yeah, no, they're not interested in a Linux solution because it's not going to make them the most money.
Yeah.
Even if they did sell a closed-source solution.
Yeah. You see, the licensing of, you know, the MySQL thing, you know, the MySQL license is really quite intriguing. You know, they say you can have it for free as long as you're prepared to, you know, maintain it and look after it and secure it yourself. And if you're not doing that, you know, you can have the exact same product and pay us, you know, 500 quid a year for. I can't understand that business model at all. And I went to Scale to find out the answer to these things, and I sat in lectures, you know, there were some of the topics were, you know, the business of open source and all, and everyone was equally confused. It seems to me that there are some sort of rock star open source programmers who can make money through it. Just in the same way as, you know, rock star podcast novelists like Scott Sigg's well on the way, but these guys are awesomely, awesomely talented. And where the kind of, you know, your average Joe working a 9-to-5 without that kind of enthusiasm and guts, this business is bizarre. I listened to Chad with interest where he was speaking to the financiers and saying, you know, we're now, our school's district is spending $200,000 less on IT or less on licensing, and we're going to use that money elsewhere. You know, this industry is really going to have to look to itself and reshape. And that's why I was saying at the beginning, you know, the conversation between Link and RMS, the questions that were asked still haven't been answered as far as I'm concerned. It's all very well as users. I consider myself a user. It's all very well to be absolutely pro-free software as a user, but there are consequences of that. If I make a good living, you know, drilling holes in teeth, and you know, that isn't going to change. And this is a hobby for me. If I was trying to make money doing this, I don't know where the hell, you know, I don't know where the hell I'd go with it. I don't know how the hell you'd start a project like this.
Just the way you did.
Yeah.
See, on the flip side, though, to you, you have a very specialized project.
Yeah.
You're targeting a need in a niche market. For me to go and start creating dental software would be extremely difficult because I know absolutely jack about what the needs are of dentists and all that. So I would have to partner up with dental firms, do some research, and do all this crap to even begin to get something off the ground like that. Whereas you already have the inside perspective and the talent to be able to code something like that. To be able to make that. So it's quite possible that in the FOSS model, this is how you would start this kind of project. You know,
I want it to be able to extend out, and I want the kind of, you know, I want my patients to, I mean, I've got patients who are quite high up in the Samba project. You know, so there's some talent there. They may be able to formulate little modules where they can kind of, you know, as I say, you know, make their own appointments. If they move, I don't know about you, but if you move house, is it a chore for you to ring up your GP and say, listen, I want you to you know, this is my new information, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, in this day and age, you want to be able to do everything. You want to go on and check. You want to go on and see when they're going to be writing to you next. You want to see what's happened with regards to your, you know, correspondence. And, you know, so although you're not a dentist, you know, the dental business, there are some aspects of it which affect you more than they do me. You know, I'm if I have toothache tomorrow, I'm going to be seen at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know that because I'll just, you know, drag my wife out of bed. And, you know, so that aspect of things is not going to be a concern to me. But, you know, so I... Although I can see how the software I want to run from my end, I also, you know, there's going to be a limit to where my knowledge ends and someone says, ah, but it should do this as well. And, for instance, we communicate a lot with, as I said, mentioned earlier, hospitals. We also communicate with laboratories who make the kind of technical aspects of dentistry and also our suppliers and orderers, etc. This should, it should all begin to come together, and it can only do that with the open source model, I think. We'll see.
That we shall. I think it will come together. I mean, it is already coming together within your own group of colleagues and contacts.
To be honest, I'm not a very eloquent man, but I'm normally quite good at getting, you know, I'm normally quite passionate about things, get involved with it, and manage to get the right circle of people around me to get things done if I need to do something. What's held me back in this case is just this ongoing kind of law suit. I've tried to be fair to this provider. I've tried to say to them, listen, I'm not going to use you anymore. I've bought a product from you which is absolutely diabolical. I think I can actually prove it in a court of law that it's not fit for purpose. Let's come to some agreement now and we'll never need to go down that line. I've even gone to them and said, listen, yeah, I would have been prepared to sign some sort of clause that meant that any work, any if they were going to divulge their source code to me, I wouldn't have passed it on to anyone else. I would have been happy to do that because my sole goal is to get better software for the practice. But, you know, they have, you know, they've not shown willing in that way, and, you know, we've given the deadline for their lawyer to respond is tomorrow afternoon, I think. And if they come back, as I suspect they will, and say, well, let's see how this plays out in court, that's when I go to all my colleagues who I know are using the same system, and I get them wound up about it, and the shit will hit the fan. It's not the way it should be, but it's going to be, you know. The poor engineer who's sitting having a breakdown at the side of the road on the Scottish motorway, it's going to be one of many. Never mind.
Was he riding a sheep into your town?
Yeah. You'll start 3:30 off about.
See, now that's the ugly side of this business here now, isn't it? The legal, not the sheep, the legal aspect. That's the ugly side of all this. I mean, it's, you know, all this hard work you do, and it could all be jeopardized by just legal crap.
Well, I did go. I went to Dussie Diggs in the IRC there, asking a question about a lawyer. I mean, I was fortunate enough to meet with Bradley Kuhn at Scale from the Software Free Lawdoms. It's one of those, yeah. Software Freedom Law Center. He gave an excellent keynote speech, and he is a tremendous guy. And I was on the IRC with one of his colleagues as well, and you know, they're saying I shouldn't really be speaking publicly about this. That should be really, you know, that's typical. Lawyers are always cautious, I guess, but I think I've got the moral high ground. For two reasons. One is because I can, you know, I can prove, and I have colleagues who think the same about this particular company. And the other bit is that I've released something out into the open under the GPL. So, well, I hope I've released it correctly under the GPL. I did everything that the GNU.org site seemed to indicate I should do. The Freedom Software Law Centre were advocating putting some Easter eggs in there just because I said, how do I make sure that people don't take my code and stick it, you know, wind it up in a proprietary app? I don't know exactly how you do that. You know, if you put a certain I could quite easily code it that if you put certain filling combination in there, the mouth opens. That would be quite fun, wouldn't it?
I don't think you can. Ultimately, I don't think you can. I mean, if somebody's going to come and steal your code and put it in a, lock it up in a proprietary application, and you'll never be able to see the code, I mean, unless you, again, go down legal avenue to compel them to open the code or get an audit done, I mean, what really can you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, that's right. That's right. That was a question I hadn't even thought about until about a week ago, but, I don't care too much. It'd be nice to have some attribution for these things, but one of the talks I went to at Scale was what's his name, Daniel? I forget the guy from Google who's doing the Tux 3 file system. Do you know of that? Tux 3 file system, which is like a it's a ZFS similar file system, and he's the most modest guy I've ever met in my life. And he wrote the Tux 2 file system and claims that instead of because he wasn't open enough with it, because he didn't publish his work early enough, somebody hijacked it and filed patents on stuff which he, by rights, got the first shout at. So Tux 2 died a death and Tux 3 is the answer, and that went live 3 days before Scale. So anyone who hasn't attended a Linux conference, you know, little gems like that are fantastic. Can I bore you with the difference between a Linux conference and a medical conference?
Go right ahead, but then tell us about the Scale conference a little more. But go ahead, bore us with the differences.
Well, the Scale. I went to Lug Radio Live last year. I just went to the second day of it, and just as I was getting involved in Linux and thoroughly enjoyed my day there, despite the fact that I only realized there was a lecture theater about halfway through the second day. I couldn't understand where everyone was going. I was just hanging around the floor show and drinking beer, which was fine. But the major difference is the work ethic of everyone at Scale was phenomenal. The talk started at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and the trade show ditto. Everyone was there way before that. There was no one drunk in a bedroom anywhere, Dan. Everyone was there on time. and the amount of the networking in between the talks and the amount of use of the floor show and the sort of birds of a feather meetings way into the night, you don't get that at a conference where people are being paid to attend, I don't think. I met some great folks there. Some great folks. Including your co-host, what's his name, Aaron Newcomb, did a fantastic presentation on ZFS, which was completely over my head. But that would be, I wonder whether, I'm looking forward to once my application becomes a bit more mature, to trying it out, to seeing if we can fine-tune the MySQL server on OpenSolaris, two good, beefy hardware solutions. That could be really, really neat to try. You'll notice I can't. I've got a wandering brain. I'm dreadful.
Well, it's late for you.
It really is. I've been up to about 3 in the morning for the last couple of months, and I'm beginning to get a bit ratty.
What time do you start working?
Well, Thursday's my day off. That's why I frequently manage to listen to you guys. I think your tech show is a fantastic, fantastic experience. And to anybody who's listening to the podcast, you're in Europe. Stay up late, get on the IRC, and there's a great group of guys in there. And you'll realize, the tech show may not be polished. It may not be, it may not be Ubuntu UK with all the little jingles, etc. But there's a bigger community around the tech show than there is around all these other podcasts. And also get the back catalog and listen to Link versus RMS. Fantastic.
As you're saying, you're off the client now. Appreciate
you're
your kind
confusing
of
the question there.
Well, I've noticed over the last couple of months, you know, you've all felt a bit, you know, you've all sounded a bit low occasionally, and you know, talking about resignations, and you know, you've energized it with your guest hosts, etc. And I mean, I noticed we can't shut Dave Yates up, can we?
Dave Yates is on a campaign to become Linux's new mascot. That's what it is.
Yeah. What's that? Brother Red's talking to me. The IRC. Excellent.
Hey, Neil, question for you. How you said that you started down your route of Linux primarily due to Chess Griffin. How did you get turned on to Chess Griffin's Linux Reality?
That is a question I ask myself quite frequently, because I can't iterate enough just how much that's kind of had an impact on me. Of all the, you know, there's a lot of tech shows around at the moment, aren't there? There's a lot of tech podcasts, a lot of which have become quite samey and just going over the news, etc. But, you know, for something to, you know, for him to say, here's how you can set up a home server and here are the advantages, and here's how you can use computers, as opposed to, it was quite revolutionary, I think. You know, and I went along. I just totally subscribed to what he was saying, and listened to some of the audio books he recommended. You know, the Nathan Lowell kind of stuff, and got myself a slug and installed it the same way that he did. And then, if I hadn't bought myself a slug, had to SSH into it to do a net install of Debian, etc. You know, I would have not acquired some of the skills that I needed to be able to do this kind of, you know, project that I'm doing at the moment. So, Chess, if you're listening, thank you very much. And
that's how I
came across to Tilts as well, because I think Dan went on there and sang, and I thought, oh, if there's a show with that sort of humour, I might as well be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the route was to listening to Linux Reality. I don't know. You know, I was looking for tech podcasts, and that one was recommended somewhere. I can't remember where. Awesome. I consume a lot of podcasts.
Do you force your patients to listen to them?
No, I did do that once when we had a guy who was over to speak to Google about something, and I said, oh, I've got something about that here, and popped it on. But no, I don't. I would like to. I mean, I could, you know, I would like to just tune into BinRev, and then we have to pay Performing Rights Society stamps to listen to the BBC radio. It'd be quite nice to say, well, no, I've got my own, thanks. But I don't think my staff would
scare your clientele away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just ignore them talking about the goatsy guy in the background while I, you know, anesthetize you.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need to hear about right when you're going under, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you tell your patients? Brush 3 times a day and floss?
Yeah, Floss Weekly with Randall.
No.
I have so much technical discussion with my patients at the moment. Patients are, you know, and people in general are quite interested in the IT side of things. And you know, when they see a Linux box in the corner doing, you know, looking better, you know, some patients are actually interested enough to say, well, this is what I've done, and I've written this, and this is what we paid X amount of dollars for. It's just, you know, you make small talk, but some people are really quite genuinely interested. You do get the occasional one who knows just enough to be dangerous and thinks, oh, well, are you going to, you know, what are you doing with my data? How can we be sure that you're going to open source all this? What's going to happen? Is my records going to be all over the place? We shall see.
So do you hand out Ubuntu disks with toothbrushes?
I've had a stack of Ubuntu disks on the front of the desk, yeah.
That's awesome.
I've given out 6 or 7 of them, yeah. 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 If you make conversation with people, you have to talk about what you're interested in, and I'm a Windows basher, 24/7. 24/7. You know, we have Pat, you posted a link to the dental site that we have. You'll notice there's a sort of a VDU screen that sits right in front of the patient. On that, we've got a Windows application running. And, you know, it's the same as any Windows application. You know, I fire up my dental chair and I've got unused icons on my desktop. I've got, you know, security updates. I've got all sorts of little nagging little bubbles. And patients, you know, hate them just as much as we do. They say, oh, bloody hell, you know. And it starts a conversation. I say, well, you know, I don't use that at home. And they say, oh, what have you used? And I say, Linux. They say, what's that? Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to having a completely, you know, if this lawsuit or action that I've got against the IT supplier ends up in the case where I've got the, you know, I'm going to be keeping the hardware that they gave us, which isn't ideal, but if that's what happens, I'm quite looking forward to doing, you know, 6 or 7 Linux installs, and maybe even live CDs with OpenMolar on. Who knows? Exciting.
Is your wife Bay? B? Bay?
B. B is a Polish name. Beata is the... Yeah. You're checking out my wife.
Yeah, you got a very pretty wife.
Dan does it to everybody, Neil.
Shut up. Yeah, you know what? What floors me is...
Gosh, that your wife.
I see all these people here, and then I'm looking at the team photo. Who's the kid in the lower right-hand corner? Is that the intern? The high school intern?
You're going to tell me that's me now, aren't you?
Yeah, it is you, isn't it?
I haven't got a clue.
Wow, you look like you're like 18 in that picture. Actually, even your regular photo, you look like you're really young.
You're too kind.
Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters looks a little bit like you, Neil.
If Ghost Hunters, is that some sort of television thing?
Yeah, it's a bunch of guys that go looking for ghosts, you know, they do like EVPs and try to capture like video of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty popular show.
I could have guessed that from the title, really, couldn't I?
Did you, were your parents dentists?
No. Father was an accountant, mother a teacher.
So you and your sister... I don't know, because you and your sister are both dentists, right?
Correct. Correct. Mm. That was the biggest shock in my life when she followed me into dentistry. Because, she was always a rebel, you know. She wanted to distance herself from anything I was doing. She was going to be a vet, but... It's good. It's worked out really well for us, and we're a long way from home here. I don't know if you realise that. You know, not by USA standards, but we've got a good 6-7 hour drive down to England, where I'm from. But the Highlands of Scotland, very nice place to live, apart from the weather.
Now,
yeah,
I
was in your town about 10 years ago, and it rained a lot.
Yeah. It can do.
Is your wife from Poland?
But guess what? I'm from Philly, and it rains a lot there, too.
my wife was born in Oświęcim, which is the Polish town where the Auschwitz concentration camp was sited during the war. And her, you know, she moved to Britain when she was 7, so she's been over here about 30 years now. But her family have some horrendous tales. You know, they can remember the Auschwitz before the ovens were built. And my wife's father tells tales of him
as a six-year-old sitting on the front of a horse-drawn cart with a pile of bodies to be taken to be buried. but they're a fascinating race, the Poles, and I've been over there a few times, and it's a fantastic place to visit, despite that history.
See, I noticed that on your new patients page, you separate your new patients by adults, children, and families. You have a separate section for Polish-speaking people.
Correct.
Do they all get different treatment?
No, but there are definitely cultural differences. The way that their healthcare is organized in Poland is different. And Inverness is a small town with a population of about 80,000 people, and we had an influx of around about 8,000 or 9,000 Poles when the European Union opened up. So it became a significant minority in an otherwise, kind of very white area. I mean, the Poles are the same race, but to have the language skills to treat them was a bonus, I guess. So we thought we'd make the most of it and stick it on the website. That's when I learned all about UTF-8 problems, because they've got a bigger alphabet than ours. Unicode issues that I had with the open molar were a pain in the ass as well, because I had the MySQLs in one particular character set. The Q widgets are in another. They have a Q string, even through Python. And, Python itself, I'm still on 2.5, which hasn't moved to full Unicode support, really. And I was having all sorts of problems. Hopefully now resolved.
Coolness. Yeah. Neil, I appreciate you coming on tonight and staying up.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'd have been
very cool talking to you,
guys.
Neil.
What's that?
Yeah.
What time is it over there? 3-4 in the morning?
It is. It's Dover time.
Dover time?
Would you like to know?
Would you like to know?
I don't get that.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Would you like to know?
Guitar Man 4 was going to be sending me some lyrics that I was supposed to sing to Link about his Apple love. Never mind.
You know what? Don't worry about that, Neil. That's
we'll
a project
that.
On the back burner.
I'm sitting over here rubbing it now. Just so you know that.
Sick.
I'm going to send you pictures, Pat.
Don't get it on, boy.
Devno, my friend. Devno.
Are you still in love with your Dell laptop, Pat?
It's a great machine.
Yeah. Any downsides to it in your long term? You've had it 6 months now? I'm under order with the Dell Mini.
I've had it since the beginning of September. And I love that damn thing. It's a great machine. Nicest laptop I've ever owned.
So why does Link think so little of you that he didn't value your opinion and buy a Dell?
He's free to get whatever he wants. He loves Apple. He's been running it for a long time.
Well, there are a few Apple.
Yes,
I counted.
As a matter of fact,
I counted
16
in scale.
Yeah. You see a lot of them at open source conferences, a lot of people that are using Apples. But just because they're using the Apple hardware does not mean that they're not running Linux behind them. I just want to mention. However, back to the whole Link loves Apple thing. I don't love Apple, but I have had this love affair fascination with Steve Wozniak ever since personal computers popped out on the market. Steve Wozniak is the coolest guy in the world, must be. The coolest computer inventor in the world. And anything that he touches or had anything to do with is really wicked neat. So, yeah, I do like Apple, but not because of Steve Jobs.
Even Dancing with the Stars?
Because of the Woz. You know what? My wife told me the other day, and it might even have been like yesterday morning, she told me that Woz was on Dancing with the Stars, and I have yet to see it, but I will watch it.
just to see what happens.
He actually made it to next week, dude.
You're kidding.
He actually made it to next week.
Did he really? I'm definitely going to have to check that out now.
So this guy's a celebrity in the States, is he? I've never heard of him.
What?
Steve Wozniak is great.
I've never heard of him. No. See? I'm just a total noob.
He's not really a celebrity in the States. He's a celebrity among geeks.
Yes.
You know, if you're like a hardware geek or an inventor kind of geek guy, Woz is the guy. Woz was the driving force behind Apple from its inception. And, you know, the other Steve is just the one that happened to capitalize on it and wear the fancy turtlenecks.
And, you know, you can get a really good comic book reader for your Apple products now.
So I hear.
And Windows CE too.
Oh no, you're kidding. But
he's got some sort of comic book animator program for Windows CE.
Who does?
Brian.
For Windows CE?
Yes.
No way. I thought there was a comic book creator with Windows and Linux. I didn't know he put it out for Windows CE, too.
Yeah.
That looks cool, actually. I give credit where credit's due. That looks cool.
Of course it looks cool.
I want that.
There's fucking comics all over it. It's the easiest bloody thing to market in the world. But those
I want to ask Link about adding my wife to the Linux Planet blog feed. She wants to write about changing baby diapers.
We could put my wife on there and she'd talk about how I won't get off the computer.
That would be interesting. That I'd like to read.
Your wife must be a right cow, Dave. I mean, she only lets you record things when you're in the car. And I noticed that, you know, the minute you pull into the drive, you'd switch the damn mic off. She must be an ogre. by the way, Dave, you do realize that these guys are recording you. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay. She doesn't listen. I did
you know, he's...
Go ahead.
Dave's drawling more than normal.
I did get her to
a Southerner on Valium, eh?
I did get her to record a promo for the Southeast Linux Fair. She was willing to do that.
Well, why don't you send it to us so we can start playing it now and we'll all be sick of it by the time that actually comes around.
Oh, so mean to her.
In the process of doing that, Dan. You'll be getting an email tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
And wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, pretty soon our whole show will just be promos. That's it.
So you guys going to run out and get the new iPod Shuffle? What do you think?
Heck no.
I don't think I could afford the headphones.
I don't even think it's really a device, you know? It's just a set of headphone cords with a little terminator at the end, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like, yeah.
Does it have a screen yet?
No.
No screen, no controls, nothing.
No button.
Yeah, it doesn't even have a button, man.
Pretty soon they're going to really release...
No button, but a DRM-encumbered headphones.
Headset.
Yeah,
and a switch. One switch on the top. That's your on-off shuffle switch.
It's simplicity at its finest.
How much is
it? It's Steve Jobs' dream iPod.
It's like 80-something bucks.
My goodness. I saw your post about the Santa Clip. Both my daughters have them, and they've had them for over a year, and they work great. I mean, it does. There's your shuffle killer right there. I mean,
you can't beat it, man. $29 bucks, you get a 1 gig Santa Clip for your podcasting needs. The thing plays FLAC, it plays OGG out of the box. It's got a rechargeable battery, charges over USB cable. What's not to love about that little thing?
No, it's nice.
The update software, if you want to update the firmware on it, you have to go through Windows. Correct?
How often do you do that?
You don't. I mean, the firmware suits my purposes. It didn't. The Linux Cranks Org number 5, 6, and 7 were all a bit hashed through it. They played fine on the Ubuntu box, but they were awful on there. And if you speed up, actually, I tell you, Linux Crank Episode 9, speed it up with your Sansa clip, and Sideshow Bob has a resemblance to another of the co-hosts on there. I'll not say who.
Who can
that's
possibly
BSD
be?
BSD Bob, sir. That's
BSD Bob, yeah.
BSD Bob. BSD Bob, yeah.
And who works at Walmart?
with the lesbian truck drivers.
Yes.
With the coffee munchers.
And he has a mullet.
Mullet hand lesbian. Yay.
I'm glad I can give those guys material for so long.
So am I, because it's funny as hell.
I laugh when I hear it. Good stuff.
And it never gets old.
No.
I like that fake commercial they did. You can hear in the background. Tetra Walmart shoppers, we have a special on NASCAR gear. Good stuff, good stuff. So, Alan, you getting the iPod Shuffle?
Yeah, I wouldn't bother with that.
You can operate it without looking at it. There's nothing to look at.
There's nothing to look at, and I wouldn't. I have enough iPods to last me for a long time. So I don't really need to worry about anything new.
How many iPods do you have?
Three or four of them.
Wow.
I've traded up it over time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one goes on there. One's for the motorcycle. I have the Nano there, which basically is just for podcasts and stuff.
Nano?
Yep.
Nano.
Nano, yes.
Should replace it with a clip so you can listen to the Oddcast. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gorkon, you and I both sided against that, said they were wrong, but they were right.
Yeah.
They were right.
In your face!
Well, Gorkon went on the forum and made comments which I totally agreed with, but I think they made the right decision.
You're no longer welcome on this show.
This is Og, right? Yeah? I pull your Og feed down now.
I agree.
And I feel a lot better for it.
I do get the Og feed, too. I use it with my Neuros HD20, one of Neuros' first products.
You see, but I have an issue with Dave Yates. Dave, if you listen, you said on your podcast, every week you say the new, you can also get the show in a higher quality Og format. Well, I listened to the Og format. It was the same old
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Still the same random southern guy in a car.
Oh, yeah. Of course, content goes with the same.
You know what I think, Dave? You should switch that. You should switch it to, and you can also get the show in the lower quality MP3 format.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To insert the word audio before the word quality, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, I'm only messing. I love a lot of Linux links.
You should bring Lynn on there, Dave.
Yeah. I switched to Debbie and Lenny recently on my main laptop. I feel I've been running hardy for so long that I wasn't going to upgrade to Intrepid, and Johnny was right around the corner, so I think I've reached the age where that I don't like the 6-month release cycle so much on the main computer, so I put Lenny on there. And Lynn sounds different now. I don't know why I'm using the same voice kind of stuff. Right now I'm having to do her voice on another computer. That's another issue I have. I can't. Oh, yeah, my Olympus LS10. When I mount it with Conker or anything in Lenny, it won't recognize the onboard SD card as well. It won't even recognize it until I take that card out. Huh. I've forgotten really how behind the times stable version of Debian can be, but I think I'm going to stick with it. Everything's working. I've got 3 Ubuntu computers left. The rest are all Debian stable now. I don't know if I'll go to testing anytime soon or not. But they're not even releasing security updates for testing yet, I don't think.
Dave Yates, I'm sorry, go ahead, Neil.
I was just going to say the one big plus about the Linux, you know, where you have, I run Ubuntu 8.10 on all of my machines. The 6-monthly release cycle thing I have a bit of a problem with, but it is absolutely great when you're developing software. That's when you really need to have exactly the same versions of the tools on each machine, and it's just so easy to, you know, it's so great how it just does that for you without any time loading. Although the Dell Mini that I've got, the Dell Mini is still on 804 if you've stuck with the Dell thing, and ultimately that forced me to break away from that, and I've got the standard Intrepid running on this.
I think the biggest issue I'm having with Lenny right now anyway is I can't get Levelator to work. But that, I can Levelate with another. It works with the Triple E running Lenny, but I think it's a 64-bit issue because there's no libsound file 1.so 32-bit. I'm running 64-bit Lenny, and they don't have 32-bit libsound file. So I think that's the issue. But.
Dave, if I had a non
in Ubuntu blows.
Dave Yates, I have a non-Linux related question for you.
Okay.
I was just kicking back the other day thinking about your job as a food scientist, and you work with primarily vitamins, correct?
Yes.
Now, I'm just curious, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, are you, like, creating new things, or are you refining existing recipes? Cause, I mean, is there a lot of, like, new stuff coming out of vitamins? I mean, new vitamins coming out all the time that you need to create? Or, I mean, like, what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, someone from a marketing group or someone from another company will pitch a formula, a proposed formula to me, or that not really a formula as much as a label claims. They want, you know, this much EPA, this much DHA, this much vitamin C, whatever. And my job is to cost it and put together a formula and send it back to sales, and they take it back to the customer and say, here it is, and this is what it'll cost you. And if they like that, it comes back to me, and I have to write the manufacturing directions and make sure all the overages are there, make sure that, you know, that all the label claims are met after a 2-year shelf life. So that's in a very small nutshell what I do.
Can you teach us all how to make acid?
What's that?
Can you teach us all how to make the best acid?
I can't understand you, Neil.
Oh, you can't.
Say it again. Say it with an American accent.
Oh, can you teach us all how to make the acid?
How to make acid?
It's pretty good.
Acid? Do you not know what acid?
LSD.
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 Yeah. No, I can't do that.
You can't or won't.
I've not done it yet. How about that?
That's what Dave's cooking up in his moonshine farm.
What he's saying is it's not quite ready for prime time, you know?
Yeah.
That was the crystal meth.
I have made an exploding vitamin before, accidentally.
How did you find out it exploded? Did somebody put it in their mouth and their face blew off?
No, when the truck with all the vitamins made it to the customer, they opened up all the boxes and the vitamins had exploded. These were soft gels, They weren't tablets or hard shell capsules. They were soft shell, and they exploded. You know,
so is that like the healthy version of Pop Rocks?
Yeah.
Was the client unhappy?
Yes, they were. You know the volcanoes you used to make in third grade science fair with the baking soda and the vinegar? Sort of the same principles, but different chemicals. And, you know, we could manufacture them just fine, and they left our plant just fine, but on the trip across the country in a truck, they didn't survive that. And when we got some back, you could put them in your hand and shake them, and they'd blow up. It's pretty neat, really. And if you could do that with a paintball, that would be real cool. And they're cool, like exploding paintballs or something.
I think you should combine all of that and have exploding paintball vitamins.
Yeah.
And that way you can just shoot your fellow paintball player in the mouth or in the face and, you know.
I think you can make really
he
vile.
He could have his daily nutrition at the same time.
A very vile
exploding
smell.
Enema, exploding vitamin enemas.
That vitamin. I thought you said enema.
He did. He said vitamin enemas.
Exploding vitamin enemas.
Oh, vitamin enemas.
Yeah, get those exploding vitamins up your chuff.
I hate to go running after taking one of those.
Definitely need to bring a bag.
I think I need more than a bag for that.
Get the garbage bag out.
Mommy, why does that guy have a garbage bag on his ass while he's running? It's not appropriate.
It's better than having an iPod Shuffle on your ass.
Dad's new running outfit.
Richard Simmons shorts. Remember those things?
Speaking of the iPod, did you notice they played the old 1984 Apple commercial in The Watchmen on one of the back screens in Ozymandias's?
Yeah, I saw that.
But it was the original one, not the one with the iPod.
Yeah. Oh, the girl running with the hammer.
Yep.
Well, it's supposed to take place in 1985.
Hello?
Yeah, what'd you say? What'd you say there, Pat? I didn't get that.
You said, when was Watchmen supposed to take place?
1985, right?
Yeah.
Parallel universe, 1985.
Oh, okay.
Why did you like the movie, Dan? What did you like about it?
I liked the whole thing. I liked the book. The graphic novel.
He really liked it when the owl guy was naked. That's what he really liked.
So you thought it was a good movie, Dan?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was pretty faithful to the book, as much as I could make it. I liked the ending of the movie better than the ending of the book. It made more sense. I don't think the ending of the book would have made sense in the movie, or it would have just been too much for general audiences to handle. Why, you didn't like the movie, Dave?
I liked the movie. I did. I did like the movie. I thought it was weakened. That's all. With the parts they left out.
Yeah, but that would have made a 5-hour movie.
Yeah, it would have.
You'll get it on the DVD, man. Just be patient.
Director's cut 4-hour version.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they had to cut it up. I was just a little disappointed. I thought the whole gist of the story or the message was probably lost on your average moviegoer because of the parts they had to leave out. I thought it was weakened a little bit because of that. But it was good. I mean, they did a real good job.
Very bloody in some scenes.
Bloody?
Bloody.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it was a good movie. The wife was, she didn't like Night Owl. She said he was ugly.
Well, it was well cast, though. They nailed all the characters. I mean, they just nailed them as far as the appearance goes.
You know who Rorschach was, the actor who played him?
Yeah, I forget his name, but he was in Bad News Bears, and he was in Breaking
Yeah,
Bad.
He was Kelly in New Bad News Bears when he was like 16 or whatever.
Oh, I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah, did you see Breaking Away?
Yeah, he was in that, too.
Yeah, he moved about bicycles and he played this greaser kind of character. But
damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's about too ugly to get regular work, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that. He's got the perfect face for a superhero underneath a mask.
So what has he done since Breaking Away and Watchmen? What has he done in between that?
Not much.
Yeah, not much at all.
At least acting-wise.
He directed some stuff, I think. He makes Steve Buscemi look pretty.
Steve Buscemi is a beautiful man.
He's funny.
He's great. Anything else tonight, gentlemen? It's getting late.
Yes, it is. We're going to wrap it up.
P64
Neil, it was nice
wants
talking
his
to
Doba.
You.
Yeah. Doba!
No Doba, please.
Oh, please.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Doba! Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? No!
Yes, I say no, I really wouldn't like to know. Nobody asked you, Alan, because you're going to get it anyhow.
That's okay.
Oh, you'll be off the line and in bed by the time Doba comes on.
No, like I said, I'm on furlough, so that's why I'm like jumping out already.
Oh, that's right. You had said that.
I don't have to wake up tomorrow I don't have to wake up at 4 tomorrow, so.
Well, I'm not on furlough, and I'm already sleeping.
How long are you on furlough for again?
Say again?
How long are you on furlough again?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, and Thursday, Friday next week.
In an effort to cut costs?
In an effort to cut costs. Yes. Which is much better than the alternative.
We haven't had a good belch in a while. Send those hate mails. Link at thelinuxlink.net.
Pat, I'm looking at that link you just put in the IRC. Isn't it? Touchpad deactivated by the Dell Mini 9. Touchpad deactivation hasn't been activated. That's really classy journalism, isn't it?
ZDNet is the greatest of places. They're very pro-Microsoft on ZDNet.
Yeah. But I agree with him. I did. I agree with him. I hope some of these netbooks are just half-baked Linux on me.
Open Molar.
Well, funny enough, I did most of the early development on this thing. Great wee machine. Yeah, I got 14 hours battery life on the when I flew over. I got an external battery, and it's 4.5 hours on this thing, and the other, and the battery was still going strong at the other end. Fabulous.
Cool. Anything else, people?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil.
Been an absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
I'm sure I will be talking to you tomorrow.
Indeed.
Thanks, Corkon.
You try that software.
Yep. Thanks, Dave.
Please.
Yeah, we'll have to get trying out that software. I would like to do that.
Yeah. Cool.
What do I need? Windows 2000, 2003 server?
Oh,
will it run in Vista?
Neil says his software will turn you into a dentist.
Well,
does your software come with a license to practice?
I need someone to try it on Mac, so. Yeah.
Does it come with a license to practice?
I'm afraid it doesn't. I'm not licensed in your country anyway. I'm not licensed.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's messed up too, man. I don't understand that all that much. I have a friend who was licensed to practice in Brazil, and he came up here and he went into IT. He couldn't get his license.
It's a monopoly. It's a monopoly.
Well, he had to go
right,
through
because
school.
Because obviously Brazilian teeth and English teeth are so much different than American teeth, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had to actually go through and get his entire dental degree all over again here in order for him to be able to...
But then again, think about it. People who are licensed to work on Microsoft, they actually let them touch computers, so there you go.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right, I'm going to play us out. We have another song from OC Remix this week, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Prelude by... Who's this by? Zath. I posted the link in the show. I hope you'll enjoy it. Stay tuned. There will be a Doba song eventually, after everybody's gone probably. So, thank you, Neil. Thank you, David Yates. Thank you,
yes.
Gorkon.
Thanks, everybody.
Pat Allen Link. Have a happy week.
If you don't like the podcast, you can stick it up your ass.
There you go. As Guitar Man 4 says.
That's right.
Without any more further ado, here we go, gentlemen. Zelda 64 Prelude.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy.
Dan's gonna plug in the other sound.
No, it's
well, you finished. Like to know where the music is.
It's common. It's got a long build-up. It's there though. I know it's there because it's playing. I think I hear it. I better mute myself, or all you're going to hear is my washing machine.
Glad you can hear it.
It's somewhere. I hear it vaguely in the background. Hold on. Yeah, my server's drowning it out. Hold on.
See, even all the come make this so good.
Someone should be reciting poetry over this. Breathe deep. They'll be of the Israelites. I will not release our people. For I am the Pharaoh. Damn dirty, filthy apes.
Watto.
So Dan, what the hell is this we're playing? This game played?
This is Zelda Prelude. Remix.
I hope they game is a little bit better than this.
You haven't played Zelda 64?
I may have. I don't know. I've played a lot of games lately.
Claudio says, Soylent Green is people!
Great movie.
Teaching and learning are the same things. I mean, when teaching is a learning experience because in order to teach, you have to examine the thing very closely, so you're learning yourself what its nature is.
Now in its third year, the 2009 Flourish Conference, taking place April 3rd and 4th at the University of Illinois, Chicago, brings together open source enthusiasts from Chicagoland, the Midwest, and around the world to discuss the technical and philosophical aspects of open source. Flourish not only features engaging talks and discussions, but workshops on key open source technologies such as Drupal. For more information, go to flourishconf.com or follow FlourishConf on Twitter. You can also find our page on Facebook by searching Flourish Conference. We hope to see you there, April 3rd and 4th at UIC Student Center East, 750 South Halsted Street, Chicago. Flourish. In code, collaboration.
It's a little thing to make sure. And that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. But the stroke is good to DLNGS.org and ICChannels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, goes the castle, just about to begin.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Yeah, with a tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
It's over.
It's the Doma time.
This is my cue to leave.
Yeah.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
I noticed that Gork don't like that tongue brush, doesn't he?
Sure.
You know, I know what you're about. What you're about? Wait. Ah, oh, there's a little taste of it. You stick around, Gorkon. You will get some Doma. 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 Where's Neil?
I'm still here. I'm on my second shimmy.
You want to get some Doma. You want a little piece of the Doma? Would you like to
Chess
send a shout out? Who?
Chess.
Well, Chess listens every week. Chess asked me for the copy of the CD.
Did you send him the box set of it?
Yeah,
we did get the box set of the Doma.
I have one CD with all their MP3s on it. It came in the box set. I got all their CDs, artwork, and then they also sent another CD with, we should give that out at OLF next year.
Copies of Doma.
Doma, Doma, Doma.
That's what Linux is all about.
Would you like to know?
Yeah. If you can answer a special question, you get a copy of Doma.
You know what? Instead of giving away books next year, we should raffle off Doma CDs.
Oh.
That would be awesome. Just have like all the books there, but when we raffle off, we keep the books and we just give them Doma CDs.
Give away Doma CD in a book.
Shut up, Gorkon.
Ah.
We wanna punish our listeners, not reward them.
I think we do that on a regular basis.
Neil, would you like to say something to Peter 64 before you go?
Good night, Peter. Yeah, you'll be getting out of your bed now. Okay, mow the greens.
I noticed you kind of like...
I have my clock set here to tell me what time it is in Sydney. It's 14:02. Where the hell is the bugger?
Maybe he's out
green,
riding on his mower.
Oh, indeed.
Wait, let me see if he's over in... I don't see him. Is he in Cranks? No. And he's not in... I see him in a lot of Linux Links more than I see him in Cranks. Then he always gets a bug up his ass every week.
Good night, everybody. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Good night.
Good night, Alan.
Have a good one.
Is that Davey 8 still there? I know, Matt's gonna shut up. Well, you know what I did? I was sitting there today at work, Davey, and I was tearing my hair out due to an issue that was beyond my control because I didn't have permission to do it at the time. And I'm sitting there, and it was already half an hour past the time I was supposed to leave. I got my coworker bugging me to give him a ticket, so I'm like, go do this ticket. I look over, and you know what he's doing? He's freaking playing Hexahop. Yeah. He's like, hey, did you get through this level? So he calls me over to help him through the level. Well, I got stuff I need to do, so I can go home. Finally, I said, you know, I already did that level. You gotta do this, and that's what he's doing. Fix that. Your fault, Dave. I was at work late today. Why, Joe? You leaving?
No.
Oh. What are you sticking around for? You want to hear Joe, by the way? Dave, he's dead. Joel.
What don't you get?
right. All right, have a happy day. We'll see if we can get some of that up. My folks, you working tomorrow? Today?
No.
Well, it's going to be just a... So, Thursday is my admin day.
Oh, here it is. Here. Dave, download this. You still in the IRC?
Yeah.
Download that.
Oh, it's JFON. Okay. I'll do it. I'll get that. I'll have to play with it some this week. I'll get it working while I'm on the air. Maybe next time I'm going to beat the whole CD.
Sushi.
The song over now.
Oh, yeah, it's over. But all you should have to do with SJPhone is, let me look at mine. All you should have to do is just put in... Make sure it's the phone itself is set, services set, PC to PC. Well, when you fire it up, do you have it on running yet?
No, I'm not doing it right now.
All you should have to do is just go to services, under phone services, PC to PC SIP, and type in 8100 at my IP address.
Yeah.
And it should connect, no problem.
I have no problem connecting. Every time I connect, I can hear everything y'all are saying.
You can't say anything.
Yeah, it's my audio. I got to select the right audio device, and I've tried them all. I'm thinking there's something in Alpha or something that's not.
You know what else it could be?
What's that?
It could very well be you're going through a NAT, right?
Yeah.
That might be a problem. I'll have to talk to Lincoln and the other guys because I can't remember. Sometimes they have issues with NAT.
Well,
I should have it taken.
Huh? Going through a stun server takes care of that, doesn't it?
It should, but I don't know. Can you record audio with what you have on another application?
I don't record audio on my computer. I use a harder device. So.
No.
I'm not trying it yet. I can do that in Audacity. I think it does work in Audacity.
Sushi.
I just use that device, whatever it is. I got to do some playing.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop the recording here, so we'll see how that works out for you, Dave Yates.
Okay. I'll see you later, Dan. I got to go.
Have a good one. Thank you.
See you, Dan.
So long.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Oh. Did you see the Watchmen link?
Yeah.
Did you, Pat?
I saw the day it came out.
No, I didn't.
Oh, wait. Did you read the graphic novel link?
Yep.
What'd you think of the translation of the movie?
I thought it was fairly good. of course, they had to cut a lot of stuff out, you know, because the graphic novel is so lengthy.
You know, that's coming back, though, in the director's cut on the DVD.
A lot of it, yeah. Yep, I can't wait to see it. They changed the ending, and that sort of threw me for a loop, because I was waiting for the giant space alien at the end, you know, but...
Yeah, I thought the ending made a little more sense in the movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird ending in the book. Oh, my God.
My wife really liked Dr. Manhattan Schlong, you know.
Big 20-foot.
She thought that was great.
Oh, I know.
Imagine what that looked like in IMAX.
She's like, that's so big. And I said, well,
size of a bus.
That's because I've been telling you mine was 6 inches for so long.
She said,
well, that must be 6 feet, yeah.
she looked at you and probably slapped you, didn't she? And cried.
Yeah.
I was about to jump the screen with my mouth open, saying, oh.
I bet you were, yeah.
That's wrong. Not appropriate. Wow. Wait, who's coming on tonight? Dave Yates?
Dave's coming on, and then Gorkon said he'd come a little later.
After church, huh?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dave, do you know the SIP number to come in?
No.
Maybe you should come in through that. It's better quality, I think, than the Freckle phone.
Yeah, I may have to work on that, because every time I try that over wireless, I get...
Nah, I wouldn't recommend doing wireless with that.
Yeah, the only thing about it is my
wireless with what?
My wire connection's in my daughter's room.
Wireless with
so
what?
You got your router sitting in your daughter's room?
Yeah. He's asleep right now. I may need to work
what
on
do you,
that. Do what link?
What are you trying wireless over there?
Do you want me to try wireless?
No, what are you trying that's wireless?
I'm doing this on a cell phone.
Yeah, but you said you won't do the wireless connection while over your laptop or something to talk on the show?
Yeah, every time I've tried both over IP or SIP with a over wireless, it doesn't work. It works, but the performance is just really, really bad.
Oh. What program are you using to try that?
Well, I've used Skype, I've used Akiga. I can try Akiga.
Have you tried Gizmo?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm using. I've been on the show for the last, I don't know, a few months. I've been doing mine wirelessly. I bought a headset, a really cheap one, a Cyber Acoustics USB headset. And I plug it into my laptop, and I've been talking wirelessly on the show for the last, you know, couple months. And I'm using Twinkle, and it seems to work pretty well.
I can try Skype or Akiga, either one, if there's time for me to try it. If not, we can do this another night. I'm hoarse as I can be. I mean, I've got a bad cough, and I'm hoarse. I don't have to be on tonight. I'm not putting y'all off. I don't want to mess things up either.
Dave Yates, sounds like you got a mouthful of Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan.
That was funny. Are you taking a movie,
that's
Dan?
There's a picture I just didn't want to have in my head, Dan.
Yeah, once again, Dan, thanks.
I like the movie a lot. I like the ending better than the ending in the book. I think it fit.
Yeah, I thought the catastrophe was him changing that was okay.
I know, but you know, didn't you really, after reading the book, didn't you really want to see what they came up with for some big ugly alien dude at the end? That's what I was waiting for. I was like,
you know, that would be cool.
What
I would like
to see. Possibly
going
to do with some big ugly alien, and it never happened.
It would have been neat, but I think people would have been like, "What the hell."
And they could have put a lot more of the storyline in there if they had cut the sex scene down a little bit, too, you know?
Would they have, like, a 45-minute long sex scene?
It seemed that way, and I mean, you know, I really appreciate the fact that they had a good-looking girl on there, and she had nice nipples and everything, but, you know, we got the gist of it after a minute. Let's move on and get some more of the storyline in there, you know. They could have squeezed in, I don't know, something.
I thought it was very violent compared to the book.
Yeah, it was. When I try Skype, I get user not found. What do you think that means?
But you try what?
I just tried Skype. I was going to try this wirelessly over my laptop, but it said username.
Can you do SIP and Skype now? I haven't used Skype in like two, three years.
Maybe that's it. I haven't either.
Can you?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
With Gizmo, you can.
Yeah, Gizmo does either. Actually, Gizmo lets you do Gizmo. It doesn't let you do Skype. It lets you do SIP.
Akiga lets
Seriously, though, Dave, you ought to try Twinkle.
Twinkle?
And it's, yeah, it's a lightweight thing, and it's pretty quick to get going, and it works fairly well, so.
Dave, don't try Tinkle, because that's something different.
Tinkle is what happens at Dan's house to the routers,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
you'll never live that one down either, man.
I'm installing Twinkle now. We'll see how this works.
David, did you have a root canal today?
Yes, I did. That's part of the reason I wanted to be on with Roland Goffer.
You could take pictures of your mouth and let them look at it, see if they did a good job.
That's true. He is a dentist. Dentists are into teeth, man.
Yeah, I think that's his specialty is root canal.
Yeah, I actually know a couple of, like, dentists like that are like related to like friends that I have. And,
yeah.
They're teeth freaks. They love teeth.
Teeth freaks.
Well, I guess if you're gonna be a teeth freak, or if
that's
you're gonna
the profession
be a dentist,
to go into.
Yeah, if you're gonna be a dentist, that's a good thing to be a tooth freak. It'd be bad if you were a dentist, but you had like I don't know a prostate fetish or something. You were a prostate freak.
Those are called proctologists.
That's what gets you lawsuits right there.
I don't understand, doctor. Why is there a hole in the bottom of this dental seat?
That's right. When the doctor says, you know, the dentist says he needs to give you an exam and start by bending over and coughing, right?
No, he says he's going to give you an exam and he puts you out. That's when you got to worry.
You wake up, your teeth are a little clean, but your ass hurts.
And your underwear are gone.
Hey, Blaine.
Yeah.
Under SIP service provider in 12, would none direct IP to IP call work?
IP to IP. You should be able to do without any problem.
Come out of the gas with blood on your thighs. You're like, well, wait a minute.
And when you do your IP to IP, the address you're going to use is like 8100@thelinuxlink.net.
Oh, you put that? I usually just put the IP address in there because I'm lazy.
Because it's asking for with IP to IP name, username, and domain. Is that my domain or is that what you're talking about there, the address?
You don't need to put a username and domain in.
Okay. It says I must fill in the domain for your SIP account.
Put in, just put in 104.104.
104.104.
I can't remember. Oh, do you remember, Alan?
What are we asking here?
A configuration for Twinkle.
Well, I did it as a user, so he doesn't need a username on it.
Right, but he shouldn't need that, right, if he's just doing IP to IP.
I've never actually done IP to IP. But, yeah, I would imagine it's domain at, or excuse me, 8100 at domain.
What's the domain?
TheLinuxLink.net.
It's shot.
Is that actually, I did have IP address. I don't know, does that, these, Lunatic.net actually work?
I see, now I think I had our IP address in too, but when I look at my Twinkle config, it says the call is established to SIP colon 8100 at the Lunatic.net, so.
Okay.
It must do name resolution.
Now, see, mine is a SIP at, SIP colon 8100 at, and then a, then Dan's IP address.
Oh, maybe I put in the Linuxlink.net then. Either way, it seems to work. Apparently, because, you know, I'm talking.
As protocol should pop up as GSM.
Okay, now, under call, what do I do?
Call, you just have to, type in, well...
IP address?
Yeah, I think you got
8100 at the Linuxlink.net.
Yeah. You may have to put a SIP colon in front of that. I'm not totally sure.
No, you shouldn't have to. I never do.
Okay.
Dave, you'll ask a question, get five different answers.
I know.
No, man, use AIX. Use IAX. Oh, yeah. Who was that?
Here he has to turn his volume up.
Yeah, shut the mute off. Dave, you connected, but we can't hear you.
How do you know that was Dave and not Neil?
That's true. That might be Neil.
Oh, you know what? He probably doesn't have that SIP proxy thing in there either, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Just
sure, now you think of that after he hangs up on the phone.
Well, you know, I never paid
attention to that because
I put it in once. Where the hell is it?
It's under S-Ton server. S-Ton.voidbuster.com.
Yeah, he's got to go under user profile and then the transport. Should we call him back up? Just
I thought Dave Yates was a Linux user. He sounds like he's more of a Mac user with this, this crap that we're going through with him tonight.
You know, I could just send him my Twinkle profile, email it to him real quick. But do we have a user that I can set him up with, Dan? On the box, do we have a free user?
Hello.
You shouldn't have to set him up with a user.
We can hear you
now. Just connect directly SIP to SIP.
Well, I'm back on the cell phone. What's the STUN server?
The STUN server is STUN dot VOIPBuster dot com.
Say that again, STUN?
STUN.
Okay.
Dot VOIPBuster.
VOIPBuster.
Dot com.
Let me try it again. Invalid domain.
What the heck is munching, man? That's annoying.
Oh, sorry.
He gets jaw going up and down.
Got him,
I'm eating a turkey leg, baby.
Back in the man.
Dan's got his turkey leg out.
Where's our guest tonight?
Fell asleep in
a
little.
I don't know, but if you can get me an account for Dave, like I said, I'll send him this config file and he'll be right on.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Sounds like someone doesn't have their audio set up properly.
Could be.
Honest to goodness.
It is always possible. If he's using a USB mic, you may have to go in there and tell it,
to use that.
Yeah, I had to set mine up. God bless us, everyone. Hey, look, Beth Lynn is back on the show again. Beth Lynn is our PLLTS booth babe, right?
Our booth babe.
Maybe Neil did fall asleep.
Is he on the RC? I see him there.
He is? I thought he wasn't. Oh, yeah, he is.
You are so bad.
I just sent a message to him to see if he responds.
I wonder if I can... Hello? Hello? Still won't hear anything. Whoever you are. And he's gone again.
He's here. He's gone. He's here.
You know, it just wouldn't be the tech show without somebody having...
Dave fits right in, let me tell you.
That was a damn fine turkey leg.
Thank you for hitting the mute, Dan. The sound of your jaw going up and down was starting to, like, you know...
Excite you?
Make me a little crazy. Not hearing anything.
Dang, you know, I gotta get something. Hey, something to drink.
Wait a minute. Wait, why is Rowing Golfer telling me his Akiganet.net information? I don't care about that.
You must be confused.
They call us.
All right, I'm back.
Giving up?
Well, unless you'll need to give up on the cell phone.
Whatever works for you, Dave Yates, it works for me.
We don't want to run your cell phone bill all up, though, you know?
His wife pays for it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Pish.
Well, Dan, you got to set him up with an account. That's why he gets a normal account.
You want an account? Yep, I'll give you an account right now.
If you give me an account, I will configure it in my comp file, and then he can just plug that in Twinkle and use that. He'd just have to configure his sound card, that's all.
Yeah, that may be the only thing, Dave. If you're using like a USB mic or something on it, you have to go in under the audio, on the user there under the audio, and tell it where to actually send the microphone.
Yeah, that's in the USB mic.
Yeah, I think by default it came up, we always wanted to use OSS, so I had to tell it to use the USB headset before it worked, before anybody could hear me, I should say.
Hey, guys.
Who's this?
Hey, Neil.
Corkin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
Not much, man.
Full house tonight. Cool.
Oh. Hey, Alan, I got a new toy this weekend.
Say again? iPhone?
I got a new toy this weekend.
Ah, what'd you get? Anything good?
A PlayStation Portable, the 3000.
Ooh. They got the
nice,
original
good
one.
Screen. Yeah, the original?
Yeah.
Mm. I love
hey, Dan,
it.
Dan, just tell me
video.
What Dave's new number is going to be.
Hold on, I gotta figure out why the asterisk. Whoa. Wait a minute.
So Gorkon's getting all the good toys, huh?
I just resuscitated a Neuros MP3 player too, which I really love using.
Cool.
That's cool.
It's solid equipment. Plays OG. 330 would like it.
See me.
Oh, we're on golfers coming on. That's cool.
Oh.
Maybe.
Having audio issues.
He is?
Yep.
No.
How's mine?
Huh? You sound fine.
Okay.
Now, is Lenny the latest Debian? It is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Golfing talk. I think I dig it.
Hello, hello?
Dave tries again.
Yeah, that didn't work. That was a Google.
You can set him up with,
I got the config file waiting over here. I just need to have, his, number.
Number, please.
One ringing.
My lucky number's one.
Hello?
Who's
hello?
There? Hello, this is Ryan Golfer.
Hey, Neil, how are you?
Hey.
Oh, we don't want no... No Scottishman on the show.
guys, it's an honor. It's an absolute honor. Absolute honor.
Set him up with 205-205.
205, all right.
Have I missed that jingle from Guitar Man?
No, we're dragging our asses.
No,
over
we
here.
Didn't do it that.
Oh, shit. That thing just plays in my head for days and days and days after you...
I hate good
stuff,
huh?
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Hey, Link, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
It sounds not like bad. We're talking not to bad. A more mature John O'Bacon tonight.
Yeah, cooler set, John O'Bacon.
Set the bar really low.
don't you know, he get, he'll start giving you a link view on one.
Oh. He managed to... He was talking about the community at scale, and he managed to... Bring up the Goatsy guy into it.
Oh no!
That's class.
The actual picture.
You don't need
picture.
To communitize the community.
Didn't bring Dan's butt into it though.
Good point.
Okay, Dave. I'm sending you that. A config file for Twinkle.
Excuse me a moment here.
If you put this in your .twinkle directory, and you'll have to config your audio, but it should get you right in. And then you, all you have to do is start it up and dial 8100.
Okay, nope. as long as this cell phone's not going to be too bad tonight, I'll just continue using it, because I could connect with Twinkle, y'all just couldn't hear me, instead of fooling around with configuring it right now, I'll wait.
I think it's just your audio. It's either your audio or the S-Ton server, something like that.
Yeah. I can hear y'all just fine, though.
You just wish you couldn't, right?
All right. That was the way. Ruining my lovely day off by coming home.
Day off?
Yeah. Technically, I'm on furlough right now. I'm on a company...
Oh, man, you guys are doing that?
Mandated furlough, yes.
How long?
3 days this week, 2 days next week. Everybody had
man, I could use some furlough like that myself, I think.
Yeah, but technically it's a reduced pay for me, so I lose a week's
furlough
pay.
Unpaid vacation.
Yeah, unpaid vacation.
My wife's having to take some of that this year.
But actually, I'm not overly upset about it. Gonna go catch up on some movies tomorrow. Go see Watchmen because I haven't seen it yet. Go down and get my motorcycle this week.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten it today, but unfortunately, I couldn't get the one guy I work with. Unfortunately, I couldn't get him to give me a lift down to my parents' house in the morning. He's got to drop off his wife at work. And he's got to drop off his daughter at daycare and stuff. So. So I gotta wait to pick it up this weekend. I'll pick it up. That's where my parents can bring my car back home.
Nice enough to ride, isn't it?
Oh yeah, today was beautiful. It was like 60 something. I think it's supposed to be nice for the rest of the week. But
so this is Alan speaking.
Yes, this is me.
You won't hear the rest of the show.
I'll talk to Alan, and that'll be the end of it.
The only time you can hear Alan speaking is right before the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I speak before the show and after, but... Yeah. So Dan, you gonna start the show or what?
I was just waiting until everybody was ready. I didn't...
I'm ready.
I'm not.
Let me plug in the audio. Oh, wrong cord. Where's my audio?
There are seven of us. That is magnificent.
Yeah. All right, hold on. We're going to start in just a minute.
Link's gonna have to tell us about his toy later.
I got all kinds of toys.
Yeah, you got a nice toy this week. Pat doesn't care.
Why is it up South Park
before? Yeah. You guys hear that?
Yeah. Loud as day? Yeah.
Yep.
Alright, I can't hear it. I'm going.
I heard something low in the background there, but...
For a long time, open source software...
Alright. God, I can't wait till Flourish is over. This is getting worse in scale.
Flourish.
All right, everybody ready?